You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Now, Samancor Chrome's announcement that it may shut down its ferrochrome operations, I think it's fair to say, has shaken South Africa's industrial sector. The move, I think, highlights the escalating strain on energy-intensive sectors, obviously squeezed by soaring power costs, logistics, which in many respects are unreliable, and also volatile global prices. Now, if confirmed, the shutdown could affect thousands of jobs. It's going to send out a real message about South Africa's manufacturing competitiveness. So let's discuss the legal, economic, and social implications. I'm in conversation now with Lucinda Hinksman, who's head of employment and labor at the law firm CMS South Africa. Lucinda, welcome. And maybe let's start with what we know. What exactly has Samancor announced? And why are analysts calling this the final flicker for the ferrochrome industry?
It is quite a significant announcement, so to speak, in that what Samancor have put out there is that there is a possibility that they might be closing down their smelter operations. There has been quite a significant shutdown over a period of time of the smelters for ferrochrome across our country. Many of them have been mothballed, and as I understand, I think these are the last two in operation. And this has more been a warning that Samancor have issued, and I think Glencore also issued a similar warning last month or month or two ago, that the electricity prices and the import costs of other goods are impacting them significantly. And therefore, if this happens, they will have to embark on a large-scale redundancy process, as well as cease operations in terms of smelting ferrochrome.
Let me ask you this then. High electricity costs, also, I think, transport bottlenecks are being blamed for the crisis. From a legal economic view then, from where you sit, do those justify closure under current labor regulations?
They do, unfortunately. And it'll be quite sad if those are the reasons as to why they are forced to go into a retrenchment process, because it will link to their operational requirements. They will basically be able to lawfully rely on the ground that they simply cannot operate with the costs that they currently have and the financial crisis that the business is in.
So legally speaking then, if a company of this size shuts down, what does the process require? And maybe just outline for us what kind of safeguards, if any, exist for affected workers and staff.
So the process would in essence be a large-scale retrenchment process. It's in terms of Section 189A of the Labour Relations Act, and it's a consultation process. They would be able to refer it to facilitation by the CCMA, or not facilitate, that is the more contentious side of things. But if they facilitate, it allows the CCMA to intervene and they will facilitate the whole process in terms of how the consultations unfold. The unions, of course, will be invited to consult and they'll go through the various topics, such as the rationale behind it, whether there are any alternatives to retrenchment. Of course, that will be the key factor here. And it certainly was the key factor from an ArcelorMittal perspective when they were in a similar situation. And then the process will slowly unfold over a period of 60 days if they go the facilitated route. So the safeguards for employees really are it's the consultation process. It's for them to be fairly represented in that process and to ensure that all alternatives are exhausted, and this really is the last hope of saving the business or not at all, is that they've got no alternative but to retrench. If that's the case, then of course the conversation turns to money, and that's around severance pay. So affected employees will, at a minimum in terms of the basic conditions, get at least 1 week of pay for each completed year of service. However, there may be collective agreements in place that entitle them to something more, or the social and labour plan may provide for something else.
And conventional wisdom, I think, would suggest that there are very few alternatives on the table, so it will probably move straight to step two.
Absolutely. I think we've seen it play out most recently with what I just mentioned with ArcelorMittal, in that, you know, IDC did bail them out to a certain degree with a facility of just over a billion. I think they blew through that quite quickly, understandably, given again the costs. And so any bailout is going to, again, just if it happens, it's just going to be kicking the can down the road. So I think it's one of those that unless they can get those guaranteed reduced tariffs, perhaps that might buy them some more time. But it would really need to see whether that really comes to fruition and how extensive the reduction in tariffs really is.
And Lucinda, there's also a domino effect because a large-scale industrial exit like this, I imagine, ripples through the entire supply chain as well as surrounding communities.
Absolutely. From an employment perspective, the impact is immense. I remember some years ago, I think there was a survey done where they found that one employed person fed 10 people. And so if you are talking about, just retrenching, let's say 1,000, we've got 10,000 people going hungry, who no longer have an income. And generally, with these sorts of operations in any mining industry, it's really community-based. And so you're affecting high populations of individuals in concentrated areas, which it does, from that perspective, it's devastating. Of course, then we look at the operational effect, which impacts our economy. Again, we have a high unemployment rate, but also we now are going to rely on having to export everything that they mine.
And just a quick one in conclusion, there is precedent, is there not, for governments to step in to stabilize industries like this before total collapse, is there not?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's really what Samancor and Glencore are trying to appeal for, is that the government needs to step in. If they want this industry to be saved, if they want to keep the economics going here of what it generates for the country, both from an employee perspective but also from an operational perspective, they need to intervene. They need to intervene now.
Thank you very much indeed. In conversation there with Lucinda Hinksman, who is Head of Employment and Labour Law at the law firm CMS South Africa. Lucinda, thank you very much.